Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 21 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
I really don't think this governor wants public education to be successful. I think public education is under attack.
Broward County Schools Superintendent Marvin Moore is blasting Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin.
Martin County authorities have arrested over a dozen people in a drug bust.
Attorney General Andy Beshear represented the Commonwealth in opiate litigation talks.
In the middle of a flu season, Kentucky pharmacists are running out of Tamiflu.
The Kentucky State Police Moorhead Post has released the January traffic and criminal activity report.
In sports, the Moorhead State Eagles play a doubleheader with Belmont tomorrow at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with a low around 14. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
After weeks of no news, Republican leaders are expressing renewed optimism about the prospects of overhauling Kentucky's struggling public pension system. Acting House Speaker David Osborne says a bill could be filed as soon as Monday. He said today he's confident lawmakers will tackle the issue before the legislative session ends in April. Republican Governor Matt Bevin said today he's also confident that lawmakers will produce a, quote, good bill to shore up the chronically underfunded pension systems. Lawmakers have been awaiting the completion of actuarial reviews on how much the proposed pension fixes would cost taxpayers. Bevin wanted to convene a special legislative session last year to vote on a proposed pension overhaul, but his plan drew significant opposition from state workers.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says Governor Bevin's state budget proposal proves he doesn't care about public education. While Bevin's two-year spending plan maintains base funding for Kentucky's K-12 schools, it makes deep cuts to several other areas, such as transportation, textbooks, and professional development. According to Moore, those reductions don't necessarily have to be made.
I would think that one of the first things I would want to do is look at the way to restructure the tax code and bring more revenue into the Commonwealth. Then you know how much dollars that you got to work with, and then sit down and see what you need to decide what you're going to cut, what you're not going to cut.
Meanwhile, Moore is upset that the governor and the Republican legislature have approved charter schools and private school vouchers, saying Kentucky's public schools are under attack.
If Governor Matt Bevin's proposed cuts to higher education become a reality, Kentucky's universities will see major cuts in programs and personnel. That's according to three university presidents speaking before the House Budget Review Subcommittee. Western Kentucky University President Timothy Caboni spoke alongside Eastern Kentucky's Michael Benson and Jay Box with Kentucky Community and Technical College. Sound courtesy of Spectrum News.
So the question that we're asking ourselves today is, what are the good things that we're doing now that we can no longer afford to do? And unfortunately, to deal with an overall reduction of this magnitude, the consequences for our campus community will include some significant job loss.
Bevin's proposal calls for 6.25% cuts, but Caboni says that's just the beginning. Next week, the committee will hear from three more university presidents.
More than a dozen are behind bars after a drug roundup in Martin County this morning. Martin County Sheriff John Kirk spoke with WYMT. He says today's roundup was the result of over 13 months of undercover buys where he saw multiple types of drugs entering the county, like heroin, prescription pills, and meth. The sheriff deputies were ready to serve more than 30 sealed indictments on other drug-related charges. Kirk says he thinks this morning's roundup has made a dent in the county's drug problem.
A mobile home in Lewis County has been destroyed in a fire. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the fire began in the Black Oak home Monday night. First responders were able to ensure the family inside was accounted for and stop the flames from spreading, but the home and everything inside was destroyed. Contributions for the family may be left with the Vanceburg Christian Church, which can be reached at 606-796-2431.
Kentucky State Police are investigating vandalism in Greenup County. Security footage shows an unidentified suspect spray-painting racial slurs, vulgar phrases, and symbols on the NTH Pit Stop gas station late Wednesday night. Gary Singh is the station's owner. Frequent customer Barb Glockner told WSAZ she considers seeing a friend.
He's a wonderful member of our community, and no one deserves this, and especially not Gary. Sad that in America, in this day and age, that we're still doing this. Should not be happening.
Glockner says she hopes the act does not reflect on her community as a whole. The case is currently being investigated as criminal mischief, though KSP troopers say they may work with county prosecutors to discuss a hate crime charge.
A former Kentucky lawmaker sent to prison for a bribery scheme has pled guilty to identity theft. The Lexington Herald Leader reports ex-state representative Keith Hall of Pikeville entered into a plea agreement yesterday that recommends a 2-year sentence on the federal count. According to court documents, prosecutors will move at sentencing to dismiss 5 other charges. Hall was accused of using fake documents to convince a customer he had insurance so he could keep a contract. He is currently serving a 7-year prison sentence for a 2015 conviction for bribing an inspector to overlook violations at his surface coal mines. Sentencing on the identity theft charge was set for May 24th. Hall was a longtime lawmaker until his re-election defeat in 2014.
The final traffic and criminal activity report for January 2018 has been released by the Kentucky State Police for Moorhead's Post. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins.
During January, Post-State troopers issued over 1,200 citations. 11 of those were for DUIs, 143 were for speeding, 88 for no seatbelt, and 5 for child restraint violations. Additionally, there were 544 vehicle inspections and 143 courtesy notices issued. Post-8 also investigated 33 traffic collisions, 711 complaints, opened 64 criminal cases, and made 178 criminal arrests. Commander of the Kentucky State Police, Captain Kenneth Bowman, also announced that troopers in Moorhead will be conducting safety checkpoints during February. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear was among the state and local officials who represented their areas this week in a federal court in Cleveland in the national prescription opiate litigation talks. Like those other places, the Commonwealth is suing some of the nation's major pharmaceutical companies. They've accused them of breaking the law by overshipping prescription opiates to their areas, which has led to addiction problems along with more crime. Beshear says it was good that he was there to present Kentucky's case to the judge, who told both sides to work on a resolution to the case.
What I'll say is I will always consider settlement talks, but these companies have devastated Kentucky communities, and I thought it was important to file our cases in Kentucky so that we can drag them into a Kentucky court where they have to answer to your listeners, the families in your community, and they have to explain their actions.
Beshear says if the plaintiffs win their suit, Kentucky will use its cash award to combat its drug problem through treatment, education, and law enforcement programs.
In the middle of flu season, pharmacists say they can't keep enough medication on their shelves. Tamiflu is the medication used to treat the symptoms of the flu. Clarence Sullivan, owner of the pharmacy shop in Lexington, says Tamiflu has flown off of his shelves. He spoke with WKYT.
We've had chains in our vicinity call us, ask us if we had Tamiflu in stock, and if we did, could they send their patients to us?
Fayette County has seen 9 flu-related deaths this season, while statewide, Kentucky has seen 82.
Vaping rates among Kentucky youth are on the rise, concerning health groups who say e-cigarettes aren't a safe alternative to smoking. Mary Sherman is with the Kentucky News Connection.
Data from the latest Kentucky Health Issues poll shows that nearly half of Kentuckians between the ages of 18 and 29 have tried an e-cig, an increase from 37% reported last year. Amy Barkley with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids says the findings are troubling because data shows e-cigarettes are a gateway to tobacco cigarettes for youths.
While we have made a lot of progress in reducing youth smoking, with the rise of e-cigarettes, we're encouraging kids who wouldn't have smoked to get addicted to nicotine and then from their e-cigarette use go on to the use of regular combustible cigarettes.
Many manufacturers contend e-cigs are less harmful than tobacco cigarettes and can be a tool for smokers trying to quit. But Barkley says there are still too many unknown safety concerns, and adds that the FDA needs to take immediate action to restrict the sale and marketing of electronic cigarettes to youths. Mary Sherman reporting.
The principal stakeholders in Moorhead's Tax Increment Financing District project have signed an agreement with a Louisville architectural firm. The group has made a deal with Luckett and Farley, which will spend the next year designing a $20 million development plan for the city's downtown TIF district. LNF President and CEO Eric Andrew says his company's blueprint will feature a hotel, but most importantly represent the spirit of what Moorhead is all about.
Just a brand, hotel brand, is not going to be as effective as it will once we understand with you all what this wants to be. And we want it to be totally appropriate and unique for Moorhead. We want it to be your living room, your destination, and really work with all the partners in this community to maximize the potential of what this project can be and all the other projects that we may be able to realize utilizing the TIF district.
The design will also include a parking garage, restaurants, and a multifamily residential housing. TIF's districts offer special local and state tax incentives to developers to convince them to build in a designated area of a community. Moorhead and Rowan County approved the creation of a TIF district in the city's downtown last year.
Grayson City Council met in special session again last week to discuss several issues. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the council is looking into whether it's required to have a standing ethics board or if one can be appointed as needed. The group also discussed and clarified rules about the overtime approval process for city employees. Changes were made to the list of city-approved paid holidays, officially adding Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Veterans Day to the list. Updates to the city's personnel policy have not yet been voted on or approved, but the council will review the matter and plans to amend the revised rules at a future date. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The National Weather Service in Jackson forecasts more rain and snow in the near future. Meteorologist David Schallenberger says temperatures should remain low through this weekend.
We just had some snow. That system has pretty much come to an end. There's actually just a few flurries out there. But looking like Saturday night will be our next system moving in. And this one has another round. It looks like it's going to have another round of snow for us.
Schallenberger says some areas may receive 1 to 2 inches of snowfall, while others could see mostly rain. He says the next weather system should come in Tuesday, but will be mostly rain due to temperatures in the 40s.
A family-owned provider of industrial e-coating plans to establish a facility in Lexington. WMKY's Jack Cottle reports.
Governor Matt Bevin has announced that True Tone Fishing Incorporated's facility is expected to create 120 new jobs. Workers will operate on 3 shifts, with 35 employees working each one. The new facility would operate an existing 70,000-square-foot building on Baker Court. E-coating, or electrophoretic painting, is a process used when coating products with hard-to-reach places. It is a practice common in the automotive and constructive industries and sees use on telecom and agricultural equipment. To encourage the company's $4.6 million investment and to encourage job growth, the Kentucky Economic Development Finance Authority approved $500,000 in tax incentives for True Tone Fishing back in December. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for our area tonight, mostly clear with a low around 14. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 42. Tomorrow night, rain showers likely before 2 a.m. before turning into rain and snow mix. Then mostly snow showers after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 34 with a chance of precipitation at 60%. Taking a look at the weather, or the temperatures rather, 25 degrees in Ashland. It is 23 degrees here in Moorhead and in Flemingsburg, Winchester, and Inez.
The time is 4:45. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Logan Pemberton, and we're glad you joined us here on this Friday afternoon. Our feature segment today has some content that could be deemed inappropriate for young listeners, so parents, you may want to turn this one down. The word fake has been popping up a lot lately, and commentator John Modaff thinks it is making for some strange bedfellows.
What do fake followers on social media and robot sexual partners have to do with one another? Let's take a look. No doubt you've heard, either in whispers from the wings or by reading the New York Times lately, that a lot of the so-called followers people have on social media networks are fake. That's right, phony, made up, fictional, false, unreal, created out of almost nothing and sold as real so they may operate to stimulate the currency of social media enrichment. Companies manufacture bots to pose as real users on social media, hijacking actual identities in some cases. Money is made making that fiction, and money is made by persons who then claim to be influential based on the size of their audience, including politicians, actors, technology executives, professional athletes, you name it. Money is made all along this chain of falsehood, and it is supported by real people who unwittingly follow high-traffic personalities because of their high traffic. What all this has to do with the contemporaneous movement in robotics toward the creation of intimate partners may not be apparent at first, but consider this. Followers in great numbers suggest agreeability. That is, a person with lots of followers must be saying or doing something that is appealing or attractive or agreeable, and if I join those followers, I am likely to engage with people who agree with me about all sorts of things, from the best model trains to whether Kathy Ireland is a genius. Agreeability, in my view, is actually what's being sold, and that's where the sex bots come in. Robotic sexual partners are advancing so fast that predictions have been made about the displacement or replacement of actual human partners, and although The Atlantic seeks to calm us that sex robots will not be coming after our relationships, it appears sex bots are taking off like the pet rock did back in the 70s, though one has the feeling they'll be sticking around longer. Here's the problem with selling agreement. In social media, it creates all sorts of illusions that lead to waste of time, attention, money, influence. In relationships, an entirely agreeable partner may be fun for a while, but consider the true consequences of a relationship where there's no disagreement, no conflict at all. Is that a relationship? Facing actual people with real thoughts who are capable of refutation, well, that's going to become less tolerable, maybe even intolerable. With social media and in our relationships, then, we will slowly be transformed into partners for bots, where we serve and are served by machine communicators and where such human qualities as candor and criticism are lost forever, traded for likes and petting. Woe be to us when the only response we will accept is like, for that is the end of growth and a return to permanent adolescence. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. Tilden Johnson has your sports news. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Eagles are home tomorrow. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Moorhead State's basketball teams both host Belmont tomorrow, the leader in both the men's and women's OVC standings. Losers of three in a row, the Eagle men square off with the Bruins at 4 p.m. Coach Preston Spradlin says his 6-16 Eagles continue to play hard, but haven't found a way yet to enjoy the fruits of their labor.
You know, we deserve to have a few more in that win column, and sometimes it's just unfortunate that it doesn't happen that way, and But how do you respond? You know, how do you respond? Do you come back and you pout and hang your head and think it's going to happen again, or are you optimistic that you're going to make the changes and work yourself out of it? We better get that figured out quickly.
At 2-9 in OVC play, the Eagles are in danger right now of not making the league's postseason tournament. Belmont is coming off of a 98-63 rout last night of Eastern Kentucky in Richmond. As for the MSU women, they'll be trying to extend their four-game winning streak when they face Belmont at 6:15. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles are 8-3 in OVC action, putting them three games behind the first-place Bruins, who are undefeated in 11 games.
We're looking forward to that. I feel like we match up better with them this year than last, but they're still, with that being said, they're the team to beat. They have a lot of players back from last year, and it'll be tough, but we're excited to get the opportunity to play them.
The MSU women will be looking to avenge last season's 96-76 and 91-59 losses to Belmont. Both Kentucky and Louisville play Saturday. The number 21 Wildcats have a 2 p.m. SEC game at Missouri. UK returns to battle after earning back-to-back come-from-behind wins against West Virginia and Vanderbilt. Assistant coach Kenny Payne says the young Wildcats are starting to display some important toughness.
I think the fact that we are winning these games is important. So that shows there's a will to win. But my goodness, I wish it was a little easier. I would like for us as a team, and I'm sure Cal's the same, to play those last 5 or 6 minutes, play the game like that, and let's see how good we are.
As for 16-6 Louisville, the Cardinals will be at the Yum Center at 4 p.m. to do battle with Florida State. The 13-7 Rowan County Lady Vikings have a home match with Bath County tonight at 7:30. Rowan is undefeated in four district games. Bath is 0-4 in district play. Cleveland Cavaliers star forward LeBron James says that the thought of him moving to the Golden State Warriors is nonsense. On Thursday, ESPN, citing anonymous sources, reported James would consider meeting with the Warriors this summer when he can opt out of his contract and be a free agent. James said he became upset because it's disrespectful to the Cavs and to his coaching staff. James understands there will always be speculation about his future, but says any link to the Warriors is false. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer and his assistants are working on finding new players for the Eagles' 2018 roster. Tenyer says they aren't focusing their recruiting efforts on any certain positions.
I think there's more need, necessity at some positions, but we recruit a full roster. Every year we recruit players at every position. We'll be limited at some positions, obviously, but the key moving forward is to find really, really good student-athletes, guys that are going to perform in a classroom, perform on the field.
Tenyer also expects to name MSU's new defensive coordinator in the coming days, along with filling other vacancies in his staff. For the fifth time in 10 years, the Patriots are heading back to the Super Bowl. Sunday's big game against the Philadelphia Eagles will make Tom Brady's sixth appearance in the championship game since joining the Patriots in 2000. The four-time Super Bowl MVP says that despite the pressure and the crowd, the Super Bowl is still a football game.
You worked hard to get to this point, and you never know if you're going to get back again. So you relish these experiences, you take it in, but you understand why we're here too. Yeah, no, this is, again, a big event. There's a lot to do, but ultimately this is about us playing a football game and playing the best game of the year if we can.
Also joining New England Sunday will be star receiver Rob Gronkowski, who has been out on concussion protocol since the AFC Championship game against the Jaguars. Philadelphia has appeared in only two prior Super Bowls, but they have yet to win one. Kickoff is at 6:30. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier has been released from the hospital almost 2 months after suffering a serious spinal injury in a victory over the Bengals. Shazier underwent spinal stabilization surgery on December 6th and has generally been hospitalized ever since and will continue with outpatient therapy. Amir Garrett is one of the young hopefuls that will be trying to win a spot this spring in the Cincinnati Reds starting pitching rotation. After a promising start last season, the 25-year-old lefty finished with a disappointing 3-8 record and an ERA of over 7. Garrett says he knows he has some things he needs to improve on.
Been mentally prepared and locked in, doing different things, I was working on my body, I'm down like 10 pounds now, and I feel like had to go back to my old self. You know, last year I was a little heavier, but you know, just getting healthy and you know, just doing things just to make sure, just to stay healthy and just have that endurance during the whole time of the season.
The Reds pitchers and catchers report to the club's spring base in Goodyear, Arizona in 12 days. And lastly in sports, a judge says there's no way she'll punish a father of three victims of Larry Nassar after the dad tried to attack the former sports doctor who has admitted to many sexual assault charges. Randall Margraves charged towards Nassar during a sentencing hearing in Eaton County, Michigan today. Judge Janice Cunningham says a punishment isn't appropriate based on the crimes committed by Nassar and the anguish felt by the families. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Belmont for a doubleheader tomorrow. The men's game begins at 4 p.m. and the women tip off at 6:15. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell sharply after a stronger-than-expected jobs report sent interest rates higher, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 665.75, finishing at 25,520.96. The S&P 500 was down 59.85 at 2762.13, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 144.92 to finish at 7240.95. This marked the first time since June 2016 that the Dow Industrials fell at least 100 points in a single session. The U.S. economy added 200,000 jobs in January, and this was a bit stronger than had been anticipated. Wages also rose almost 3% on an annualized basis, again, a stronger reading than had been anticipated. And this sent interest rates higher as the benchmark 10-year yield rose to 2.85%, and this represented a four-year high. And, of course, investors have been jittery about the recent rise in interest rates, worrying that they may be rising too fast. Also, the 30-year yield today rose to its highest level since March 2017. Wall Street also looked to the release of key corporate earnings. ExxonMobil reported weaker-than-expected earnings today, sending its stock down over 5%. Tech giant Apple reported better-than-expected earnings, but the stock fell 4.4% after the company said it expects lower profit margins this quarter than had been anticipated. Also, Apple reported lower-than-expected iPhone sales for its previous quarter. Google parent Alphabet also reported quarterly results. Earnings per share did miss expectations, and the company stock dropped over 5%. Amazon surged to an all-time high on the back of its earnings report. The e-commerce giant said its Amazon Web Services sales, a key component for the company, hit $5.11 billion, which was better than expected. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.8% to finish at $65.06 a barrel, while gold was down 1%. Finishing at $1,334.30 an ounce. Overseas stocks were weak. In Asia, the Nikkei index finished down 0.9%, while South Korea's Kospi index was down 1.7%. And in Europe, the Stock 600 index finished with a loss of 1.38%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your worst performers were Chevron and ExxonMobil, and not a single Dow industrial stock finished with a gain today. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mattel and Motorola, while the worst performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Fortune Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $3.34 at $73.93 a share, and there was no news on the stock today. CSX was down $1.33 at 55.25. AEP was down 10 cents at 67.74. Marathon Petroleum down $1.28 at 67.41. AK Steel down 24 cents at 4.76. And Kroger was down 88 cents to finish at 29.33. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Brian Courtney, Chaz Jenkins, Tilden Johnson, and Jack Cottle. With the Kentucky News Connection, Mary Sherman, and Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from Morehead State Professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.